Joshua Jacobson.
Good morning, everyone. I'm honored that my father is joining us today. It's a schuss for me to be able to speak with him here. This Shiloh today is something which happens in my house, say, not every week, but quite commonly. I'm about to make Kiddush. Excuse me, Kaninahara. And I'm looking in the silver cabinet, and I see a few cups. And I'm struggling with the question, which cup to use? And really the problem started when I once went to Baltimore to visit my son, who was in yeshiva there, and I went to a cheap Judaica shop where they had an extra becher, an extra cup, at a very good price, which I knew was not silver, and here it is. And I came back with it, and I thought, it'll be useful, maybe I'll have mitzshem, a simcha, and I'll need some extra kaisis to have a whole bunch of silver cups. Was a bit extravagant, but this beautiful little cup, I thought, I think it was about $7, so I'll buy it and I'll bring it back. So now I come home, and I'm about to make Kiddush, and I think to myself, if I can't find my regular Kiddush cup, so I'll use this one. It's very nice, but often I stop myself and I say, no, look, the extra 5 minutes, find the silver kais, use the silver cup. There's more hiddur mitzvah, not just because it's the one that I got from Achasana, but it's silver. And then I started to think, is it really a hiddur mitzvah to use the silver one? I mean, this cup, you can look at it afterwards up close, it's a very, very fine cup, it's a beautiful cup, and possibly my cup, which is a bit banged around and aged, isn't as nice. So I decided I would look into the subject. Maybe I've got it wrong. Maybe the hiddur is in this cup. So as always, I'm not going to say halacha l'maisa. I just want to bring out the points of different issues of hiddur in Kiddush cups, and it'll apply to other things as well. So I'm creating the case called the case of the five Kiddush cups. This is, you go to your silver cabinet or your shelf, wherever you keep your things, and you have their five kaisis, and you have the following question, which one to take? Number one, you have a family heirloom, which was used by your Zaidi, Shabbos after Shabbos, silver, but it's really old and bent. Number two, you have a pure gold cup, 100% gold, or 24 karat gold rather, which was a gift from your rich uncle. Number three, you have a very nice table glass. Nothing wrong with it, nothing right with it, just a nice table glass. Number four, they sell nowadays very large kois shel Eliyahu, which sometimes can hold an entire bottle of grape juice. So you've got a very big silver-plated kois shel Eliyahu. It's very impressive. Maybe that's a hiddur. And number five is this nice, shiny, but very inexpensive silver-colored cup from Baltimore.
You're asking whether they're having a big cup that takes in more wine is a hiddur in itself. But that's what you're asking?
Each one, if we go
that's
through
what
them,
you're asking in the
there are five different questions.
Yeah, but the big crab cup
yes.
is holding more wine.
That's
that
it.
Is it in the
that's
the
right. So each one we're going to go through, we'll see each one has an aspect of hiddur.
Yeah.
And the large kaisis, Mr. Locke is saying correctly, the issue is that it's very big, and maybe that is an aspect of hiddur. And we'll come back to that actually quite a bit later, but keep your question in mind. So now,
what we do it out of town. Does that help?
Do
they? They say, can you keep doing whatever you've been doing till now?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you ask that. You ask whether we want to know which one.
I hear what you're saying. So now, the first question is there's a presumption in my question. The presumption is that there is hiddur in a Kiddush cup. And you might say, of course, we all have nice Kiddush cups, and we don't want to think we're mistaken. But why should there be hiddur in a Kiddush cup? I want to explain the question. What is the cheftzisho mitzvah of Kiddush? L'chura, it's the wine. That means if you want to be mahadur, your Kiddush, the first thing to do is to make the cheftzisho mitzvah, the wine, a higher quality. Or halachically wine. In the olden days, people had to choose between, let's say, raisin wine or wine mixed with something else. And you'd have to find out. We all generally have pure wine, although maybe flavored wine is coming back in fashion, I don't know. But first of all, who says the cup is the cheftz shel mitzvah, is the article of the mitzvah at all? So now, and just to bring out this point that the cup isn't so essential, imagine you went and you stuck somewhere and all you had was a bottle of grape juice and no cup at all. And the bottle was the right size for for making kiddush, the right size opening, the right amount of wine inside. So you skip the cup. So would anybody say to him, no, you can't make kiddush. You have to have a kais. You can't just use the bottle. I think everybody would agree that we'd tell him, of course you should make kiddush. The kais is a bonus. It's a nice thing, but it's not essential to the mitzvah. So someone tined to me, someone said to me, but look, we saw the halachas of a kais. A kais can't have a crack in it. A kais has to be a certain size. Doesn't that show you that it's a cheftzish or mitzvah? So I hear the point, but I would say back to them, if most of us looked in our houses and we went to find the negelwasser plastic cups that we use in the morning, I would be surprised if there's more than one hand that goes up and says, I have a mehuder negelwasser cup for the morning. We're very happy to go and buy a cheap Chinese-made or wherever they make these things that break after 6 months, and they couldn't look cheaper if they tried. Where's the hitter in that? So there are dinim very much in it, and yet there's no. It doesn't seem to be that we're bothered by the hitter. Maybe we'll start a new fashion and we'll have mehuder ones. Any event, let's say that there are dinim, but that's not a proof that it's a cheftzishul mitzvah, that it's the article of the mitzvah itself. But I think we'll see it may very well yes be. And that is after we hear a chakira. There's a chakira, what does it mean to say hider mitzvah or zeh keli v'anvehu? These are two terms which the Chai Adam uses interchangeably, so in my shir I'm also going to use them interchangeably. So what does it mean? These are the two options that are presented. First of all, let's define hider mitzvah. This is the Chai Adam's words for what is hider mitzvah. He says as follows. One needs with every mitzvah to use all his koyach to beautify the mitzvah up to a shlish, which means spending a third above the value of the basic mitzvah, including to select the min, most meshubach and me'ula, which roughly translates the most praiseworthy and high in stature, that is ruy for the mitzvah, that is fit for the mitzvah. That's your job. If you want to mehadar in the mitzvah, you need a meshubach, me'ula, example of whatever it is you're doing, an esrog, a lulav, whatever the thing might be. As the pasuk says, v'chol mivchar nidreichem, you shouldn't bring Hashem your old sheep that looks like he's about to die. You should bring your nicest sheep, the pasuk says. So too, he says, we learn from there, all of your mitzvahs should be done with the most beautiful items. Now, beautiful has two aspects. We're going to focus on the second, but I want to clarify that there are two aspects. One is a halachic beauty, and one is an aesthetic beauty, a physical appearance kind of a beauty. The first one, for example, is if you had koises that were all identical, but one was only going to fill the opinion of Reb Chaim Noah to make kiddush on the smallest size, that wouldn't be as mehuder as your largest cup, if it was everything else being equal, that could hold the shear of the Chazon Ish. So there you'd have a hider, nothing to do with how it looks, but just in the fact that halachically it's more preferable. That's one aspect of hider. And I'll tell you a strange thing that comes out from this. You sometimes see people with these tefillin cases that are really ugly. I hope I'm not upsetting anyone. The tefillin case is made out of a hard plastic for campers. And they have a screw-down lid that they're waterproof. And, maybe somebody likes the way they look, gives a rough look. But they are, in fact, very, very protective of your tefillin. So if one of the things that a tefillin cover should do, halachically, is make sure your tefillin don't get ruined by the sun and the wind and the rain, so they have an aspect of hidur in terms of their halacha, even they're not really mehudur in how they aesthetically come across. So I'm not advising people necessarily get them, but I'm just saying, trying to prove that seemingly there are two aspects, physical beauty and halachic beauty. So let's assume that halachically all of the kaisis in this question meet the requirement for halachic hidur. They're all Chazon Ish size cups, if we need to be choshish for that, la halacha, but if you've done everything you can halachically with your cup. Now we're talking about the physical beauty, and that's my focus today. So now, the sefer called Mishmar HaLevi makes the chakir. He says, how do we understand being mahadar in a mitzvah? There are two ways, he says, you could define it. The one is, you're trying to have a beautiful object. The object itself, whatever it is, the lulav itself should have beauty, and the more beauty you give to this, the more beautiful your esrog is, let's say, then the more splendor you've given to the mitzvah of Arba Minim. So that's one way to understand hidur. The other way to say is that you personally, you need to appreciate mitzvahs more. The way that we're affected by mitzvahs, to have an enhancement of our love for mitzvahs, a chavivas of mitzvahs, is to use more beautiful items. So it's a means to arouse in you a love for the mitzvahs. But the focus is on you. Now, he brings a very practical nafka. I mean, if you have two men who walk into an Arba Minim shop, and somehow or other two esrogim grew that were exactly the same. One of the men has a very wealthy man, and one of the men is a very poor man. And they turn to the man in the shop and say, at the same time, we'd like to buy from you your best esrog. He says, well, wouldn't you know, you're in good luck. I have two identical esrogim. They're the best in the shop. Each one, $200. And you can have one for you and one for you. And out they walk with the very, very mahuder esrogim. But if you look at the object, then you'll say that they have both accomplished hiddur mitzvah identically. But if you look at the personal chavivus for the mitzvah, the poor man's chavivus, his love for the mitzvah, his hiddur is much greater. So this chakira has practical differences depending on which one you are or what you're doing. How you are doing the mitzvah could very much make a difference if you show chavivus.
Hiddur changed the effort.
But according
That's
to one of the,
difference.
You're right. But one of the sides of the chakira
is how much I put into having.
You're correct.
It doesn't become effort, does it?
He has two tzadim. On one of his tzadim, the more effort you put in, the more you're showing a hiddur in the mitzvah. So it's
what the poor man's got more effort.
So now to answer this chakira, some of the achronim bring a raya from Rashi and Bava Kamma and Daf Tesamid Beis. The Gemara says, we mentioned in brief, Amar Rabbi Zeira v'hidr mitzvah ad shlish. A hidr mitzvah you should spend up to a third. So Rashi says something which he adds in words to a brisa, which if you look up the brisa and Shabbos, they don't exist there. So Rashi says as follows, she mitzvah two sifrei Torah to buy, one is a third more than the other one, you should spend the extra third. And he brings his proof. And he quotes what seemingly a brisa. And Rashi doesn't usually change brises. But in this case, both he and the Rif, unless they had a different girsa, they add in a word. And it says like this, Desanya, ze kelivi anvehu, isnoi lefana of b'mitzvahs, you should beautify your mitzvahs in front of Hashem, asa lecha sefer Torah na, make yourself a beautiful sefer Torah, lulav na, so far so good. Then he says, talis na, but tzitzis na, a beautiful talis and beautiful tzitzis. But if you look up the brise in Shabbos, it does not mention the talis. It only mentions the tzitzis. So the question is, where did Rashi get this from? How can he add into the list, unless, again, if he had a different girsa, but how is he adding in a talis into the list of things you should have beautiful? Why is that? Because what is the mitzvah of tzitzis? It's the strings. The beged is principally just a hechetimsa, a means to be mechuyev, in putting strings onto it. So you've got your garment, whatever your garment happens to be. That, and we see that the dinim of geniza are different by the strings than by the beged. It's not all just one big mitzvah. They're different parts with different connections to the mitzvah. So the question is, how does Rashi do this? How can he add it in? So they say, well, look, it depends on this chakira. If you say that it's object-based, then it's a good kasha, because there is no mitzvah object called the beged. But if you look at the person, then of course the person should want to have a beautiful beged as well as his strings, because it all enhances his love for the mitzvah. So they tried to bring that as a raya for one of the sides in this argument. But some of the achronim push that off and say, no, maybe Rashi was referring to the talis gadol that we all daven in. So if we all daven in it, then it becomes a chefetz shel mitzvah because it's been meyuchad, it's been set aside for davening. So it may not be the strings, but you have made it into a cheftza shel mitzvah. You made it something designated for mitzvah use exclusively.
You know where that is? That's by the kittel on Yom Kippur. We do not go into the kittel with the kittel into the toilet.
Oh, so I had the same question.
Because, yeah.
Exactly that question. If I'm miyachid this cup for Kiddush, so should I be allowed to bring it into the bathroom?
I don't know. Some people go in,
some
people don't do it. So, same concern. A beged, meyuchad, to daven with, like a talis.
Right.
You go with a talis kotnet into the toilet.
Yeah, exactly. I saw that exact point. You're right. Exactly as you say. Okay, so if that's true, then our chakira ends up being sort of academic, because either way, the Kiddush cup makes it. If you say that it's person-based, and the person has to love Kiddush more, so then you would want to have a beautiful Kiddush cup to help you to enhance your Kiddush. And even if you say it's object-based, but this object has been miyuchad, has been designated for making Kiddush with. I don't think most people would take such a cup and get themselves a drink of Fanta, coffee. You would say, it's my Kiddush cup, you know, use a different cup. You're not saying it's asur, I'm just saying you relate to it as having been set aside for Kiddush. Now, this goes one step further. Shaila was asked from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, I'll show you why I think it's one step further. Someone said to him, do I need to buy a beautiful talis bag? Talis, we've already spoken about, a talis bag. Now, we see it. Go around Machzik Yadas today, you'll see some very beautiful talis bags. Is that our imagination, that we need to have a beautiful... What mitzvah you do with a talis bag? Get yourself a plastic sack that says Halperns, and... Yeah, and use that. Yeah. So get yourself a bag. You have to have one that's made with embroidery and so forth. So he said yes. You know this forum where we ask him a question and he just says yes or no. So this sefer is Das Neite. He said yes, you should have one. So it doesn't help you that much because we don't know why. But his son writes the sefer. His son went to his father afterwards and asked him why. What's your basis for saying this? So he has a very straightforward proof. The Masechtas Sota says, a brice about how do you bring a mincha offering. And it says, Seder Menachas Ketzad, how should you bring your mincha? Adam mevi mincha mitoich besa bekalta shel kesef shel zav. A wealthy man, this is not talking about the kelim that he's going to offer the mincha in. This is talking about from his house. He digs around in the cupboards and he finds a nice silver or gold vessel. He puts the flour in and he brings it in. What does that have to do with the mincha offering? The answer is nothing. But the Brisa is telling us that nevertheless, even in this early stage of just holding your chefetz to shel mitzvah, you should use gold or silver.
With bikurim as well.
Yeah, that's right. It's interesting. I wondered why he didn't quote that Gemara, but okay. The second proof he brings is this a similar the Gemara we quoted before in Shabbos on Kuf Lamed Gimel, where it says the list of things you should bring that are beautiful. The last one it says, Sefer Torah Na, make a beautiful Sefer Torah. It says write it Lishma, use beautiful ink, use a nice quill, and then it says at the end V'korchin b'shiroi noim and wrap it in beautiful garments, silk. So what does that have to do with the Sefer Torah? What you wrap it in. So he says, we see from that, that the things you carry the item in also should have hiddur. Although some say, one of the Achronim says it's not a proof. So why? Because there's a separate mitzvah called Kavod HaTorah. And maybe the reason why you're wrapping the Torah in beautiful silk container is because you want to mechabed the Torah. So that takes away the proof a bit, but the proofs are relatively straightforward. And he says, get yourself a beautiful talis bag. But they asked Rabbi Yashiv a seemingly very similar question, and we don't have to say that Rabbi Yashiv agreed with Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. We don't know. They don't put the two together and ask them. But it sounds like a very similar question. I think it could be that's a bit different. They asked, should you get a beautiful esrog box? So now you already see there are some who do it, some who don't. By talis bags, I think almost everybody in the room has a nice talis bag. Esrog boxes, some people have, and some people just use the cardboard one, and some people throw it in a bag, and whatever you do, it seems to be okay. So he said, you don't need to have a mahudur esrog box. So, well, that's the question. That's the question. No, so the question is, exactly, isn't this, you should achor need zekei levianveyu. So, I'm not saying this is the only opinion on the matter, but this they asked Rabbi Yashiv, and this was his answer.
I want to ask one thing. Do you know by Svardim, they have the backing of the Sefer Torah on a clog?
Yeah, you're right. That's one of the answers they bring as well.
We don't allow that.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't understand. Is that Kelly Van Vey? Is that what they have it for?
That's one of the Pshatim. They say it could also be that the cloth wrapping is actually useful at the time they read from the Sefer Torah.
They do. They have a Gemara.
Yeah. That's one of the answers they bring to that Gemara. Exactly what you're saying. In any event, so I wanted to say that maybe there's no argument. Why? Because by an esrog, the esrog box is not the same as a talis bag, perhaps. Why is that? If you would take your esrog and put it into your wood or metal esrog box, would people really be happy to just take the esrog and put it in? I think a lot of people would be worried that their pitim would get broken. People would be worried it's going to get banged around. So what do we all do? We get foam, or we get raw wool, and we wrap it up, and we put it inside, and then we put the box around it. So which one is really holding your esrog? Is it the box, or is it the cheap foam that they ship it in? So it could be the esrog box is a holder for a holder. Yeah, but okay, at least the ritsuas aren't. I hear your question, but maybe you could say the ritsuas...
Yeah, but the film is different. You need two boxes to go into the toilet.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
Tefillah need two covers.
Sorry again? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would be inclined to say like that. That's right. That's what I'm going to answer as well. That it's true, it's not just the protection, but it's directly holding a mitzvah article. The straps themselves are a chefza shel mitzvah. You have to treat them with tremendous kedusha, so forth. But so that's how I wanted to answer. You can take it or leave it. Maybe an esrog box, he's being more, let's say, lenient, if you want to say that, because it's a holder for a holder. Whereas a talus bag, if you don't have a bag around it, so it could get dirty, it could get wet, you need the bag to do something. And we see the plastic, a proof I had, is the plastic around the talus bag. Nobody's really that bothered when it gets a tear, and you can see some sellotape over there, and sometimes no sellotape. Why? Is that Kelim Yanveyu? So we say there's a certain limit. I'm not going to go so far that every holder that I put my talus in needs to be beautiful. Okay, so that's the introduction. I hope we have time to get through the rest. And that is that we've more or less, I think, hopefully proven that a Kiddush cup is shayach on either side of the chakira that we said to needing beauty. Whether it's object-based or person-based, this cup has been miyuchad for making Kiddush. Let's make it beautiful. Well, our five cups, I'll just remind you what the five cups were. We said the family heirloom, which is dented. Zaidi used it. Number two, you've got a gold cup for a gift from your uncle. Number three, you've got a regular drinking glass, a nice drinking glass, but it's just glass. Number four, the large Koshel Eliyahu. And number five, this one here, the cheap cup from Baltimore. So now, seemingly, people would say, I would have thought, that there's a clear winner. Use the gold cup. The gold cup, in most people's estimation, is certainly a beautiful, expensive item. And even if the workmanship isn't amazing, but at the end of the day, a lot of people would be very, very excited to use a gold cup. And a proof for it comes from the Shaarim Mitzuyon B'Halacha. He quotes the Chesed Lavram, who by Hilchus Menorah lists 15 qualities of materials, I'm not going to list all 15, that makes a menorah more mehudar. And he goes through a list as follows. I left some out because some of them are not relevant to Kiddush cups. Gold, silver, copper, iron, lead, glass, bone, wood, and peels. If you could make a cup out of, I don't know, a coconut shell, I don't know what you're going to do exactly. But peels doesn't fit so well, bone doesn't fit so well. But let's go with the basic of gold, silver, copper, iron, lead, glass. So gold is number one. I didn't count, I didn't go to 15 because some of them, he's different derivations of these metals. So you won't. Well, you're very exactly right, and that's one of the points that is mentioned in the poskim.
Exactly.
Well, come to it. Hang on. So now, not all of these metals on the list are a good idea. For example, they say people in Rome used lead pipes, and they eventually caused them to be insane. So I don't recommend anybody has a lead Kiddush cup. That's my disclaimer for health and safety. But the other ones, gold is on top. So isn't gold the best? So we look at the Gemara in Yuma, and we'll see there's an exception. It says when the Yidden wanted to improve the Beis HaMikdash, they changed all the doors, all the Sharim. And it says there was one exception. They changed them all to gold except for one. Right. Kol Sharim Shahai B'Mikdash Nishtana L'Yoshel Zav. All the gates were changed to be golden. Chutz M'Shar Niknor, except for one gate, which was the gate of Niknor. And there are two reasons given why. Either Mifnei Shenasabo Nisim, because of the nace that happened with the miracle that happened with it, which the Gemara goes through, I'm not going to mention all now. Number two is Yesha Mifnei Shenechoshoson Mitzuhaves Haisa. This copper was so beautiful, the Gemara says, V'haisa Me'ira Kisholzav. This copper was as beautiful as gold. And they used it. And the Beis HaMikdash was the place to show opulence, to show beauty. Because we say, Ein Anius B'Mokka Mashiris in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't have anything that looks poor in the Beis HaMikdash, except for if there's a Gezeiros HaKasav, why to use something in particular. But generally, you're supposed to lay it on, make the place very beautiful. And yet they allowed copper on one of the main doors. So there are two reasons given. So number one, you could say that because they were so beautifully made, we say it was shone like gold. We see if something's of exceptional beauty, maybe it jumps up the list. Even though gold is the nicest, but if you had something made of copper that looked better, it was a beautiful workmanship, special artist made it, then maybe it could jump up the list above gold. And number two, we see a nace. If a nace happens with something, that can also push it up the list. So you say, okay, most of us don't have nisim with our Kiddush cups. But I wanted to say the Baba Sali's Kos of Arak used to be a nace. They used to keep pouring and pouring. But most of it just have regular Kiddush cups. So where's the nace? Someone said, maybe you see the principle is that there's an internal worth. Just like a nace, you can't see on something that had a nace that it's any different than any other cup. If I tell you this cup had a nace with it, you'd say, yeah? How am I supposed to know? But inside the cup is this quality of having, an internal quality of having had a nace occur with it, a miracle happen with it. So if that's true, that could bump it up levels, and that could be like Zaidi's Kiddush cup. Because if you think of three generations of people making Kiddush, and all the mitzvahs that were done with this kais, Shabbos after Shabbos, you could say that's an internal value. You can't see it on the cup, but it has a significance, just the fact that that was what happened to it. And on the other hand, someone pointed out to me, one of my chavrusas said to me, what happens if you get a Kiddush cup that has a very bad memory associated with it? Imagine this Kiddush cup was used at an event, and disaster happened, chas v'shalom, at that event. So that could also be a lacking in hiddur. It could be your best cup, but if every time you pick it up, you feel a certain unpleasant memory racing through your mind, so maybe that's a lacking in hiddur. If we say nisim, pick it up, so maybe the opposite, disasters bring it down. And someone else said to me, and even if you have two cups, let's say you have one of gold and one of platinum. They're both golds, right? But you happen to like, or you have orange gold, red gold. You like red gold. So if that resonates more with you, maybe that's also an aspect of the. I can't quantify for you why I like red gold more than I like orange gold. But if something internal is valuable to you, that could also possibly push up the preference. So you should pick that one. Now you could say, okay, we've answered the question, Yeshua, time to go home. So I say no. Gold is not always the tops. For example, the Gemara in Erechin says there was once a flute in the base of Mikdash, and Ovuv Hai B'Mikdash had a nice, it was smooth, it was thin, it had a beautiful voice, and the king came up with a great idea. He said, let's cover it with gold. So okay, so sounds good. So they covered it with gold, and it ruined the sound. So he said, okay, take the gold off. So we see that even though gold may be a hitter, but if it ruins the function of the chefetz shel mitzvah, you can no longer use it to blow to make music, then you can't have that. And the same point someone was making earlier, the real connoisseurs of wine claim that the best thing to drink wine from is glass. It's not to drink it from gold and silver. It spoils the taste. And I'm not a connoisseur, but I can tell you if I drink a soda, Coke or something from an aluminum can, you can taste sometimes a bit of the aluminum in it. And some people don't like that. It doesn't bother me too much. But so if it ruins the flavor, don't use it. And there's a Gemara which supports the beginning of Tainus. Rabbi Yeshua was shepherded once by the Caesar's daughter. She said to him, how can such wisdom be in such an ugly vessel? So I won't go through the whole Gemara, but he said, okay, you know, take your father's wine and put it into golden vessels and see what happens. And it ruined it. So we see that gold is actually, even though they say it's inert and it doesn't corrode and everything else, but it actually somehow ruins the taste of wine. So that's one strike against gold. Another one is the Chochem Tzvi. The Chochem Tzvi was one of the great poskim, and his practice, the Maisa, was to use a glass. He used a glass. So I always used to feel bad if I got stuck in a simcha hall and all there was a glass. I used to think, oh, I've got to hunt around, and you know, how can I make kiddush on a regular glass? But I would be in good company. The Chochem Tzvi did lachakila, and his son gave edus that in his house there was molly kalim of kesef v'zav. He was not short; he could have used any keli he wanted, and he chose glass. So his son explained, why did my father use it? So he says, number one, glass has the advantage that you can see the redness of the wine, which comes back to the main mitzvah is done with the wine. And the redness of the wine, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Atzir Yain Ki Yis Odom, that the beauty of wine is in its redness. That's why on Seder night people have a preference to use red wine. But he wanted to be able to see the redness of the wine. That was a part of the enjoyment. I suppose people know about wine will tell you the appearance of the wine is also something. Number two, it allowed him to remove the impurities in the wine. So even though we have purified wine, and even though our wine even has things which are supposed to make the sediments drop, whatever they do to it, but people have told me they regularly find bits of grape in there, bits of whatever, I don't know if they find pits, but they find sediment in there, and they don't want to drink it, so that's a lacking in the hitter. So he said, use a glass for these two reasons. So glass has moved up above gold in that respect, and someone told me, if there's a Belzer Chassid here, someone told me some of the Belzer Chassidim use glass. Anybody know? I don't know. Okay, so either they do or they don't. Sorry? Apparently every Shabbos. I don't know. Okay, so I didn't check, but that's what I was told.
You haven't talked about the plastic cups, which look like that.
I'm not going to be able to. You're right. You're right. You're right. It's a good point. But it is. Okay. So it comes out the gold isn't everything. We see from this gold isn't everything, and that's perhaps the point which should be highlighted. Should be highlighted in light of the presidential elections in America. But we're going to focus on Kiddush cups. One other problem was with this cup was not that it was gold, but who gave it to you? Your rich uncle gave it to you. So you'd say, well, what's wrong with that? Let me have a rich uncle. So the Chai Adam says in Samaches that we should not be trying to do mitzvahs bechinam. He says a mitzvah that you get for free is worth less. That means it's a halachic lacking in the mitzvah. He says you should do mitzvahs b'schar sholem. Don't look for discounts. And he brings a raya from the pasuk of David HaMelech trying to buy the field for the Beis HaMikdash. And he said clearly, and this is the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, he doesn't want it for free. Ki konu ekna me'oisach, I'm going to buy it from you b'mechir at the regular price. I'm not going to bring up my offerings as a freebie. I'm going to pay for this field properly. So he learns from there that's true for all mitzvahs. And the Zohar, he says in particular, he doesn't say why, he just said the Zohar is machmir mo'oid b'zeh. So to get free gifts for mitzvahs is not the way. Yeah, so I've got a similar question to you. Okay, but David HaMelech didn't, you're right, but David HaMelech didn't say that. He could say it arranged. You see, so the chasana present, I think, is similar to my question. What about the family heirloom from Zaidi? So you didn't buy it, you inherited it. In the same way, the chasana present, which I didn't think of, but I think the answer may answer both, you didn't buy it. You got it as a present. So if so, it would seem that we shouldn't use them, and yet most of us use our chasana gifts for everything, for whatever we were given. And
really, if you go to Meir Shalom and you try and bargain down on a chadabot, maybe you shouldn't, because it means you want to pay less for mitzvahs.
I don't know. I'll tell you why. Maybe not. Because if the real price is what the bargain down price is, they're not obligated. Yeah. Okay. So this is someone's suggestion how to get out of this problem. How do we use heirlooms and how we use a chasana presence? When you're given those things, they come with a price tag. What is the price tag? The price tag is the responsibility to use it in the way that it's the family, your Zaidi, used it. They're passing it on to you so you should continue to do what you're supposed to. When people give you a kais for your wedding present, what they're saying is, we want you to live a Jewish life and we want to help you to do it. Here's the kais. There's a certain responsibility attached to the item which doesn't make it the same as a free gift. A free gift, you give somebody something, they can go and do whatever they want with it. People might ask you, you're using the kais I gave you, enjoying it. And I'm not saying that that's nice derech eretz, but the point is that you feel responsibility associated with it. Maybe that's a type of a price tag, but I don't really have a better answer than that. Yeah. If he's good, okay. He's got money lying around. So he got a shipment of gold coins. I don't know. I hear the question. Why is it given to you to use? Yeah, I didn't focus too much. That was one of the points said earlier, that it could be if it resonates more with you, that this is beautiful, then. But I don't know if it overrides. You're going to see at the end, as always, my conclusion is going to be, I'm not saying halacha l'maisa, but I hear the point, because at the end of the day, if you don't like the cup, it could be I convinced you that this is the most mahuda cup, but you don't like it, so then it's hard to say that use it anyway. Although maybe if you say, I like a cup that doesn't fulfill the halachic requirements, then we would tell you have to use it anyway. I like a tiny little cup. So we'd say that's not good enough. One other point we mentioned that was one of the koshes, the big one I made up, was the kosh that Ali was silver plated. So the question is silver plated the same as silver? If it is, we'll all save a lot of money, because silver plate is about a quarter of the price of silver right now. In any event, where did I find a proof? The Hilchas Tumah, the Rambam and the Ravid are both addressing the laws of whether a keli, which the inner keli is, let's say, wood, and then they coat the outer keli with metal. How do we view this keli? Is it a metal keli or a wooden keli? What decides? Well, both the Rambam and the Ravid say that the coating is the ikar. They come to different conclusions. The Rambam says because the outside is intrinsically tahor, which is a question why he says that, v'tzipui atzmo tor, since that is true, the inside is bottled to it, and the whole cup is tahor. The Ravid agrees that the ikur is the tzipui, is the covering, but he comes to the opposite conclusion. He says, v'kibol tuma al yedei tzipuyin, that because the outside is makabel tuma, the whole cup is makabel tuma. So, just in a nutshell, nobody's arguing that the outside defines the material of the vessel. The question is just what the result is. But by hiddur, we don't have that question. We're not trying to figure out, is it tahor or tamei? You just want to know, what is this? Is this silver or not silver? The answer seems to be it's silver, and therefore, seemingly, it would have the same advantage in hiddur as silver plate. However, you could argue that the value associated with it, knowing that you're using real silver, maybe that's a hiddur. And I want to bring out this point by saying, if you suddenly square cups would become the fashion, and you had to pay more for square cups than round cups, so does that prove that they're more mahudur, the fact that the price goes up? So I would say seemingly not. It may be a simen that something is choshev, it's pricey, but it's not a siba. It's not something which makes it more mahudur just because you paid more for it. If somebody rips you off in one of these shops which sell things at massively inflated, hoping you'd haggle with him to bring the price down, and he said, no, I want to pay the full price. So there could be that there's no hiddur in paying extra, but if you look at a cup that has the stamp of 925 sterling silver on it, there is something in it that people, it's not just your imagination that maybe it feels heavier, maybe it has a different gleam to silver plate, I don't know, but it could be that then the fact that you paid more and that the item actually people recognize as being more valuable, maybe that is a hiddur over silver plate. So now, just because I'm running out of time, I would like to explain, I'm not going to get to the end, but where does the minhag come to use silver kosis? I've been building up gold, and then I've said glass, and I haven't really made such a great argument for silver. So the one of the sources of using silver is the Siddur HaYavitz, who says on Seder night to use silver. So the question is that a proof for the rest of the year? So the Sefer Lahoris Nosson says, no, it's not. He says, why? Because he said silver because that's what most people can afford. But if you could have afforded gold, he would have told you to use gold. That's one thing. The other thing he says, which is very interesting, I don't know how this plays out in halacha, he said it may be only on Seder night that you should be using your silver because we're supposed to remember Acheris, Zeich L'Acheris. But the rest of the year, we should have Zeich L'Chorban. So how could you use gold and silver kelim when the Zeich L'Chorban? Now, I don't know anybody who's machpid on that. If you would use glass, then you would get out of that issue. But in any event, so some say we have a raya from the Siddur of the Yavetz, and some say we don't. An undisputed raya is from the ksav of the Arizal. Now, I cannot explain to you what the Arizal means. I can just say what he says. He says that the gematria of kois is the same as elikim, which is midas adin. And you're holding a kais that you want to make kaisho brocha, and you're using a kaisho brocha as association with din, which this is not a good start. So what do you use? You use silver, which he says, and I can't explain to you why, has a connection to chesed. So you've sweetened the din with chesed, and the result is that your kaisho brocha will have the right shefa, will have the hashpo by using silver in your kais. Now, there's no really discussing this because I have no answers for you, but that's one of the bases for using a silver kos. I have about 1 minute left, so I won't get to the last one, get to one before then. That is, Zaidi's silver cup has a disadvantage. That is dented. It's bent up and it's dented. So you could say that's you shouldn't use it, it's not mahudur. But we know by Esrogim that there's a discussion, the Chasam Sofer says the usage marks that you get from using your esrog is not a chesoron, that's a hiddur. So you could say by the Kiddush cup, the same thing. The fact that Zaidi used it so many weeks and it got bent, that's a hiddur. Others, I think, are choylik, but at least you have the Chasam Sofer. But you could say, no. Why does my Kiddush cup have dents in? I'll tell you why. Because I've dropped it on the floor and the kids have kicked it around the room. And maybe somebody... there's no hiddur in kicking your esrog around the room. It was well used. It was well used, but it's not a football match. You're supposed to be using it for the Arba Minim. So it could be the dents in Zaidi's cup you should pay to get them fixed and use it with all its hiddur. But again, people have to ask the Rabbanim for the final psak.
I hope I didn't disturb you.
No, not a very good point.
Yeah,
thank you. Tainus designed with this. Erichin was...